Readings taken from Timothy. I found a charge to Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say that their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, reading from chapter 5, beginning at verse 36, in which Jesus addresses the Jews. The works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor done his word, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scripture diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know what you do, that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? This is the Gospel of the Lord.
As you remain standing, let's pray. God of the living, sustaining word, give us faith and discernment to receive your message, the wisdom to know what it means, and the courage to put it into practice. In your name, amen. Please be seated. Well, I wonder if you all know from the readings that we've just had what today is. Today is Bible Sunday, and it's the day when we remember and celebrate the inspired Word of God through reading God's love story with the world, all found in the Bible. It starts with a garden, as everybody will know that reads Genesis, and it ends with a garden city, not Milton Keynes. And in between these two garden stories, there are events and that feature the likes of us. So as I go through a list, forgive me that it's a list, but I became quite excited about this list. See A, where you fit in, but secondly, where it is that the stories come in the Bible. So you're going to have to do a quick bit of thinking, but let's see, test your knowledge in a way. So the stories include something about and for the historian, environmentalist, scientist, and engineer. Are you one of those? The musician, the artist, the craftsman, the architect, and the builder. Are you one of those? The shepherd, the farmer, the fisherman, and even the pigman. The politician, the lawyer, the judge, and the priest. The doctor, the carer, and those who work in hospitality. Are you one of those? The sailor, the soldier, the administrator, and even those in IT. Why IT? Well, was there not an apple in the Garden of Eden? There are stories about the rich, about the poor, the disabled, and the homeless. The thief, the murderer, the prostitute, the swindler, and the terrorist. Not to mention, there are baby stories, children's stories, teenagers, parents, grandparents are included, widows, widower, and the unmarried. There are stories for the sick and the dying, the joyful and the bewildered, the grieving, and so much more. Those are all mentioned in the Bible. In other words, this Bible is a book that fits. Whatever stage we're at, whatever job that we have, whatever mood we are experiencing, we are in there. We are there for a reason. What is that reason? In a sentence, it is because God wants to connect with us, to communicate with us, with you, and then to connect to the world through you. In the 2 Timothy passage, we read, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that man, is the people of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." In other words, when we read scripture, it is in order to accomplish all, not just a bit, that God has planned for us to do. Well, put it another way, we are created not only to search the scriptures, but also to act on what we find in them, to live them. I was talking to a friend of mine, Katie, the other morning about this passage, and she told me a story about a well-known speaker who was reflecting on his time at Bible college. One of his tutors ended her Bible studies with the comment, "You have studied this passage in depth this afternoon. You have looked at its context, the different translations, considered the various meanings, and the underlying messages. But, so what? So what? How does this information impact your life this week? What difference will it make to how you live? How different will what you've just read make you become closer to Christ? How you discover and do the work he's delivered to your inbox for you to do for him today? How will you discover that? If you can't answer the so what question, then quite frankly, you're wasting your time here at Bible college." Quite a thought. Which really brings us to the gospel reading, where Jesus is also being tough as he rebukes the Pharisees who are bogged down with just studying the word of God. They can't recognize that standing in front of them is the living word himself. So to illustrate this, I have brought to you today, all the way from Wadden Harvest Festival, 2 very important things. I've brought them because they have a direct connection with my particular ministry. And the first one that you're going to have a look at is a very two-dimensional look. Scarecrow. This, may I introduce you, if you haven't recognised her, is the Reverend Geraldine Granger, or the Vicar of Dibley, as you all know her. A female vicar, just like me, who, according to the press release, says enjoys nothing more than a really good laugh. Over the 6 years that I have been here as an associate priest, having done weddings and baptisms, I can't think how many times I have picked up the orders of service at the end, and written on the top is, just like the Vicar of Dibley. But while the congregation might have been present at that service, they don't really know me. They don't have a personal relationship with me, or actually with Geraldine. And in one sense, it's very two-dimensional, a superficial impression that they have of both me and my ministry. But there is a more three-dimensional Reverend Gussie, who is slightly, as you will see in a moment, quite visually unnerving. Here she comes. She can do things with her legs that I certainly can't. Thank you very much indeed. In fact, it's quite funny because when Lauren dropped her off for me, oh, that's very good for that's, thank you, that's fine, she'll be fine. When Lauren dropped her off to me at the beginning of the week, in fact, my dog Jimmy was so convinced it was me that wagtail barked madly and then jumped on the lap. But again, that while this might help you to recognize me, and while Geraldine told you something about my character, neither really comes close to be able to meet me in flesh. As so that you to meet me like you do this morning a little bit, as a smiling and a breathing and a speaking and a somewhat flawed Gussie. But even some of you in the congregation who know me as friends may consider that there is more to know about me and for me to know about you. But for us to discover more about each other, we would need to prioritize our agendas. We would need to be able to choose to search for each other, in our, each other out, in order to be able to spend our time together. For the facts and recognition are one thing, but the living and breathing relationship has to promise so much more to continue to evolve into something if we get together. It will give us a time of a richer, a more loving and a life-enhancing relationship. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you think that they will give you eternal life. But although Moses and the scriptures point to me, you still refuse to come to me to receive this life, the life that you so want, even though I have taught you so amazingly and shown you and shared with you so many miracles. You stay, it was Jesus was saying, you stay in a two-dimensional world, a one of text and of facts, and you fashion a lifeless three-dimensional image of the Messiah to suit your agenda. And here Jesus is out here pointing that actually, you know, it's possible to be a Christian, to know the Bible like the back of your hand, to be able to quote and even teach it, and yet not know the one who is himself the living, breathing, personal word that is here this morning. In other words, Jesus wants you to understand that this is only through having a relationship with him, the living word, that we can have the love of God in our hearts. And it is the love of God that is the catalyst which illuminates, brings the word to life, and has the power to speak to us through through his Spirit. In John 6:63, he says, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." So where do you stand? The Bible, in summing this up, the Bible is where the living word and the written word come together, where the personal becomes personal, where the so what answer to God's plan for your day becomes the opportunity to act and fulfill your potential. In contrast, without knowing the living word, without having the Holy Spirit present in our lives, we cannot answer the question, so what? We can't answer that question if we don't have that. And with that little hope of God-inspired, action-packed, abundant life, we'll be far off. So draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Don't you love that bit? Let's say it. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And may you know his blessing as you discover and deepen your relationship with him through the scriptures today and for all your tomorrows. Amen. But you know, it's great knowing this. There are some of you out there that have read the Bible for years and have a brilliant plan and you love it. There are some of you out there that I have a suspicion actually have got a bit tired with how you kind of do it and you need to be re-energized. And there are some of you that may have never really got into that regular reading of the word to discover the living one that just wants to come and stand beside you. So I emailed poor Will on holiday, as one does, and I said to Will, would you just come and give us a few ideas? First of all, he's going to give us an idea on some websites that are good. And then I emailed Zena, and I said, can you put some things on your bookstall that might help? And I've also got some freebies to give away if any of you are interested. So this isn't just about you've learned something today. You've got to act on it. That's what Jesus says all about. You've got to act on it. So, Will, over to you.
The one joke you missed out was that Moses was the first person to download information from the cloud onto a tablet. Sorry, it was a really bad one there. I couldn't resist it. Just very briefly, do you know there's nothing better than a paper Bible? That's the first thing I want to say. Get a good old-fashioned book. And the study Bibles are the best. That's half is the actual scripture, and the bottom half of the page explains the scripture. You know, there's that lovely picture in Acts of the Ethiopian eunuch who turns around and says, how on earth am I supposed to know what's in this scroll unless someone explains it to me? And, you know, I really have felt like that person, you know, over the years. Scripture's hard to understand. Some of it's really hard to understand. Get a study Bible. They are on sale at the back. Zena will be there. She can explain the different ones we've got. Obviously, it's cheaper and, you know, there's lots of stuff online. I use the YouVersion of the Bible. You can do searches on it. And what I love, and you know, lovely Esther here in the choir, she has an iPad. She can do all this, so, you know, it's never too late for anybody. But, you know, you can press play, and you hear David Suchet read the Bible to you. And I don't know about you, I love his voice. And whenever I get in the car, I put my earplugs in and I listen to scripture. And that's a lovely way. And you know, you can, it's all there and you can read it. But just buy a Bible book. That's what my advice would be. Thank you, Gussie. She really raises the bar on visual aids, doesn't she? Do you know what my visual aid for my talk was? A pumpkin. And we didn't even carve it because it was too difficult. So we just drew on the outside. So well done, whoever made this in Wadden. It is absolutely spectacular. Gussie, I can't believe that was such a good talk, and we're not going to hear another one from you here. Thank you so much. And you know, we're going to miss Mark as well. And he's there's a, yeah, behind every great woman, there's a great man as well. And Mark has been quietly, very much in the background, supporting you all these years. And Mark, we're very grateful to you. And I know this is deeply embarrassing for you. Yeah, where you're over there. Sorry, yeah, you're over there. You're hidden behind. Yeah, in fact, he's hiding. That's what he normally is. He's hiding behind the flowers. But yeah, thank you too. And on behalf of the parish church, and I have got your gift, by the way. I think I left it in the office. I will give it to you later. And I know there's more to come. But just on behalf of Buckingham Parish Church, thank you so much, Gussie. We've loved having you being part of our benefice family for these years, and we shall miss you deeply. Thank you.